Be reading this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 22 through 27. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. You may be seated.
I appreciate Jeff leading us in those songs, dealing with the storms of life, dealing with our anchor holding in the storms of life. As we think about the topic this morning of are you connected? I don't see that I'm connected. Yep. Found it. As we deal with the topic of are you connected, the basic premise of that is that we are made for connection. If we are not connected to God, to the church, then we're not going to be able to handle when the storms of life, when the trials of life come. You see, we live in a world today where people are experiencing loneliness like never before, where we have more ways of being connected than ever before in history. Yet we're more isolated and lonely. We have greater anxiety, greater fears. We're dealing with more mental issues than any other age ever has. We have a social media connection, but we often feel like we don't have anybody close to our own self. Studies have shown that some people say they don't even have one person that they feel closely connected to. And these studies and the Bible teach us that if we are not closely connected to someone, if we do not have secure connections with others and with God, then we're not able to handle the storms, the challenges, the trials of life. And that if we are closely connected to God and to others and to some key people in our life, then we have the strength to go out and engage and connect with others. So this morning I want you to think about the question, are you connected? Are you connected? God made us for connection. He made us to need this connection. I want to go all the way back to the book of Genesis. In the opening chapters, we see that God made us for relationships. And if you want to ask the question, why were we created? Why are we here? Ultimately, that answer is to give glory to God. But what's even beyond that answer of giving glory and honor to God? Why did God, He didn't need anyone to give glory and honor to Him. So why did He create us? It seems that the basic and most fundamental answer of why you and I are here and why God created this entire world, created human beings, is because of His desire for relationship. In the opening chapters of Genesis, we see the plural term used for God. Let us make man in our image. Who's the us? It is indicating the relationship there in what we commonly call in religious terms the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our, plural, image. God is a relational being. He relates to Himself as the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And His desire was to create people after His image that He could form a relationship with. But of course, you know that didn't end there. He didn't just create one man and say, I want to have a relationship with him. When He created that man, and that man wanted to have a relationship with other people, He paraded all the animals in front of that man, and He found no one, no helper that was suitable as what? As a companion for that man. And so He took a rib out of Adam, and He formed Eve, woman, and He brought her to the man, and He presented her to Adam. And we think about the first wedding ceremony there in Genesis chapter 2, when He forms Eve, and he brings her to Adam. And we find that God says in verse 21, this deep sleep to fall upon man, and while he slept, he took the rib and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from man, he made into woman, and he brought her to the man. And the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." God created us for relationships. And the more secure we are in that we have relationships and that we have people that love us, that care for us, the more we're able then to plug into other relationships, the more then we're able to meet the challenges, the storms of life. Does anybody care, we often ask ourselves, when we go through our problems, our challenges. And when we want people to care, we want people to show love. And we need that, don't we? We need that connection. God made us for connection. He made us to understand that secure connections make us stronger. We're able to do things for God, do things for others, do things for our community because we are stronger together. From military strength, we understand that no one wants to be the lone soldier, but rather you want to have a team with you. You want to have fellow soldiers who go in and fight with you. We understand this team concept is so important to us as humans because secure connections make us stronger. I want you to think about three secure connections you need to have. The first one is, and this is so basic, the most basic one, you've got to have God. You cannot overcome whatever trial, whatever storm you're facing if you don't have God. How many times have you heard someone say, and it's so important to be said, "I do not know how I would get through this if I did not have God. I don't know how I could do this if I didn't have God." Or you go up to someone and say, "Man, it's incredible what you're doing. I admire what you're doing." And they say, "I couldn't do it if it wasn't for God. God is my reason I'm doing it. God is my strength behind what I'm doing. God is the reason I have peace and hope and joy. God is that foundation, that relationship that gives us strength." So many programs that have been designed to help people overcome addictions, be it alcohol addiction or drug addictions or whatever else it is, they have as their foundational basis, you've got to get strength, you've got to get peace, you've got to get security from that connection with God. And that's what Genesis 1 through 3 is about, isn't it? God created man. If you go back to Genesis chapter 1, God created us in verse 26. "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Verse 27, "God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply.'" We see God engaging in a relationship with Adam and Eve in the garden. And then in chapter 3, when Satan convinces them that God had tried to deceive them and really wasn't giving them all that the knowledge they could have, Adam and Eve sin. But what do we see about God? We see that in verse number 8, God is coming to them. Verse 8, "They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. And the Lord God called to man and said, 'Where are you?'" Let me tell you something. If you do not have God in your life, God is saying to you, not audibly, but he is saying, "Where are you?" God wants a relationship with you. God wants a relationship with you. Just like when Adam and Eve sinned, he was the one who was the first mover. God is always the first mover. He is always calling and wanting a relationship with you. He created you. He sent his son to die for you on the cross. He gives you a morning, each morning to wake up. He blesses you. His word is constantly there, desiring you to read it. God is calling to you. Where are you? God wants that relationship with you. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, after Solomon had talked about the vanity of life, he says in verse 13, let's hear the end of the matter. "The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. That is man's all, Solomon said. Our main foundational thing about life is we need God. We need a relationship with God. And God wants that relationship with us. And if we do not have a relationship with God, you are never going to be satisfied, content, peaceful, or happy, or able to engage successfully in life and with other people if you do not first have that vertical relationship right. Are you connected? But notice God also, James 4, 5, I didn't mention that, but God yearns for us jealously. He wants us. He wants you. Second relationship that God created us to have secure connections with is family. In Genesis chapter 1, He created them male and female, verse 27. And then verse 28, He says, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. He wanted Adam and Eve to have children and fill the earth. He wanted man to have dominion over the earth, and He wanted them to be in a relationship with their children. We see this in chapters 3 and following, where man begins to have a family. In chapter 2, 22 through 25, I've already read those verses, where He performs the first wedding ceremony, if you will. He unites them together. God wanted and created us to have a secure connection in marriage. He wanted a one flesh, intimate relationship. Why did God understand that we need to have companionship? That's how He made us. He knew that it's not always the case, but He knew ideally for us to be who we need to be, we need to be in an intimate, connected relationship with someone of the opposite sex. That we need to be married. We need to be in a committed, covenant relationship that says we're committed till death. We're going to love each other as Christ loved the church. We're going to nourish and cherish one another. We're going to value one another. And that gives the greatest stability, the greatest emotional support, the greatest strength to facing all the storms of life. And that children are best raised in that environment where children can be loved, they can be nourished, they can be trained, they can be taught how to obey, and they can be taught the fear of the Lord through that relationship. And so in Ephesians chapter 5, He describes that relationship between the husband and wife thousands of years later as still being that intimate, secure relationship that He wants in a man and a wife. And so when you think about that family relationship, are you connected? Husbands, we need to constantly be seeking connection with our spouse. Understanding that if things aren't right there, we're not going to be able to be strong in other areas. We have to keep that relationship strong. Wives, we got to be constantly seeking connection with our husband. And parents, we have to constantly be seeking connection with our children to train them, to be intentional about raising them and bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that if children do not have a strong home, a secure home, and all the teachers in this audience can testify to this, you can tell that in your children, right? We say that child has a troubled home life. That child has a lot of problems at home. And it's sad because you see the problems that child has to deal with at school or academically or socially, because of that home life, because there's not secure connections with mom and dad. Secure connections make us stronger. Are you connected? Are you working to foster those basic core relationships? And then are you connected to the church? These three main institutions, these three main areas, these three main relationships are the core triangle, if you will, that God wants us to build our life upon. God, family, in the church. In Hebrews chapter 10, Dan did a good job talking about these verses last week. In verses 23 through 25, and talking about this idea that we don't just come to worship. That's not the only reason we come. Yes, we come to worship, but we come also, verses 23 through 25, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. We come to be connected. You know, there's fads and things going on now about just watching and worshiping at home through the internet. I understand that can be a good thing if you're sick or if you are homebound, to be able to live stream a service. And it can be a good thing for people to learn the message. But you're never going to have what God wants us to have by being separate and watching it on a screen. What God wants is for us to have relationships. He wants us to be in presence with one another. He wants us to be there to encourage each other, to do what we do and what we need as humans, to be together, to encourage and uplift and stir one another up, and to find strength from one another. Presence. We come in and we gather strength because we have secure connections with God, with one another, and with our family. So then we can face the storms of life. Your anchor can hold in the storms of life because you have strength in His church. People say, I don't know how I could get through this if it was not for my church family. Couldn't live a Christian life if I didn't have other Christians encouraging me. That's what Hebrews 10 is talking about. Not neglecting to meet together as the habit is of some, but encouraging one another. In 1 Corinthians 12 that John read for us, Paul's talking about this analogy between the body and about how we're members individually, but we come together in Christ to form the one body of Christ. And how we are to be united. He talks about how, verse 26, if one member suffers, all are suffered together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. So we have this threefold idea of God, family, and church. Now, I want to try to apply this a little bit and challenge you on these things. So you have you, and I want to give you a web. This is the core of that web. You have you. You have your values, your convictions, your beliefs, your purpose, your wants and needs, your life commandments, what you believe is that you've got to do. That's who you are. And all these things are going to shape who you are connected with. For example, if you have a value that says, I need to be in church, then you're going to probably be here, irrespective of who else is here. In other words, that's your value, you're going to be here. But I want to see how those connections are going to shape and feed those values. Each person has wants or needs that they have. They have some wants that they need to have met, like love and care and security and things like that. You have some needs that are basic to that as well. And so much of this is going to factor in on the faithfulness of people, why people drop out of church, why people stay faithful to the church, all these kind of factors. And so this is you, your convictions, your beliefs, and this should be growing and these should be educated by Scripture. Many people out there today haven't gone to church any in 2020 and may not go to church any in 2020. And at their core, they have a value, they have a belief that says it's not necessary for me to go worship God. And a part of changing that is going to have to be them understanding God sent His Son to die for me. I need to go worship Him. I have a need for salvation. I have a need for the church. And so it starts with you. But as you think about you, think about the web of church connections and all these church connections that you can have. And each of these different areas involve people. So each of these areas involve people that you're connected with. They say that when a person becomes a new member of the church, that in the first 6 months they need to develop at least 7 close connections. I'm not talking about intimate friends, but close connections of people that they know beyond just, hey, how are you doing? Or they will fall away after 6 months. Now, each of these areas often represent different connections you have with people. So if you think about you, and you think about you in 2020, what kind of connections are you going to have? I want to just go through a few of these. For example, if you're a lady, are you going to be involved in ladies' events? Because you're going to meet and know people there. You're going to have a commonality there with them. You're going to have a purpose there in those events. And you're going to have shared experiences that are going to help bind you to people of the church. What are your children's connections? Because oftentimes our children and the connections they have help bind them to the church and also help bind us because of the connections our children have. Trips, whether it's a senior trip, going out to eat somewhere, whether it's a mission trip, whether it's a youth trip, those things are when you really get connected with people, you create shared experiences together and you have good life-changing moments. A Wednesday night Bible class, a Sunday school, a PM worship, a AM worship, a AM Bible class. All these are different times where you sit by different people, you get to know different people, you have a different type of group or element, and you get connected with people. Now, as I go through these, mission trips, youth events, or a youth devotional, or a KFC devotional, or a service project that we might do where we do something for New Pathways, or we do something for our community. And then an evening worship and an AM worship. You get the idea. Now, if I were to ask you, and I want to do this, but I couldn't figure out exactly how to do it in a broad perspective, so you kind of have to individualize it. But if I were to give you a blank sheet of paper, and I say, all right, you got your you, and you draw your lines, how many connections would you have? Because the more connections you have here, the more it's going to feed you in your beliefs and your faith. And your beliefs are directly impacting whether you think it's important to be in these areas and be connected in these areas. And if your wants and your needs are not being met, or if you have a desire for those wants and needs to be met in the future when you go through the storms of life, you need to be connected now. You see, how many connections do you have? Now I want to go to the next slide. And this is you too. Now, I'm not saying these are sinful connections. We need to have these connections too. All of our connections don't need to be in the church because we've got to be a witness to the world. We've got to be an example to the world. We've got to be out there reaching the world. But here's the worldly connections, or life connections, I'm calling it. There can be things like exercise. You may have your gym friends. You may have your sports friends, whether you play sports, or whether your kids are playing sports, or whether you're going to watch sports, or you may just be all big fans of the same team. You know, everybody gets in that gym or that football arena, and everybody that is for that team are connected, right? Because they're a part of that team. You wear the t-shirt, we'll say. And then we've got all kinds of youth activities. I'm not talking about church youth activities. I'm talking about secular youth activities from all kinds of things that go on out there. Community service. Maybe it's a community service club. Maybe it's something to help raise for cancer or heart. Disease, things like that. There's college, friendships that aren't connected with the church, work, recreation, hunting, entertainment, school events, family, trips, all these are things. Now, I want you to think about this. How many connections? Once again, those aren't bad connections. But every one of those connections and the people that are associated with every one of those connections are going to fuel the you. They're going to shape you. And they have the power to influence and impact the choices you make. And the bottom line is that the more people, the more commonality, the more purpose, and the more shared experiences you have with these people, if they are not people who have Christ and God first in their life, the more it's going to pull you away if there's not a balance, especially from your church and from the Lord. And that's why you often will see when we need to be careful when our kids go to college, because oftentimes they are moving then from the influences that have impacted them as they grew up and the commonality and the purpose they had in their influences to maybe a new set in another place. And they've got to re-engage in this web of connection, and many times they don't engage with people who have a spiritual mind. And so think about the power of connections here. Four quick thoughts here. Your connections influence and shape you. They do. And you got to be intentional then of thinking about who do you want to be connected with? Because your connections are going to make you stronger in that area. Your connections influence and shape you. Keep asking the why of your connections. Keep asking the why. What is the purpose of me having this connection? And is this something that is helping me get to heaven? Or is this something that's hurting me in my journey to heaven? In other words, what's the purpose of this? You know, and it can be an act as parents, you've got to constantly be doing this. Why do I have my child in this sport? Not wrong. My children play a lot of sports, but I've got to constantly ask them, why are we doing this sport? We've got another sport coming up next season. We've got another sport coming up here. I got four children. Can I have all of them in sports? Why are we doing this? What's the point of doing this? Is this something that's beneficial? Is it working for our overall goal? Keep asking the why of your connections. Why am I so connected to hanging out with these friends? Why am I so dedicated to this entertainment? Why am I so connected to this hobby? Why is it important for me to be at this Wednesday night Bible class? Why is it important for me that I'm at summer youth camp this summer? Why is it important for me to go on this mission trip or to be a part of this service? Why? We must work to strengthen our connections with one another. In 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about that idea. So as a church, the application here for our church is that it's so important for us to be connected. Last week, Dan talked about unity. And this is really a follow-up thought on unity, because what unity is connections that are secure and that are working well, right? Where there's not disconnection, there is not conflict that is hurtful and causing people to not be able to grow in their faith. And so there needs to be understanding. That's what Paul's talking about in 1 Corinthians 12. There needs to be validation. He's talking about the unpresentable parts and the presentable parts. He's talking about those of greater honor, those of lesser honor. He's talking about the foot, the toe, the finger. He's talking about, you got all these different parts. Every one of them needs to be understood. Every one of them needs to be validated. Every one of them needs to be cared about. No one is greater than the other. So whatever role you're playing has an essential role in the church. You need to be connected. We need to have unity. If you're leading ministries or you're involved in working with things, we need to constantly be thinking, who can I shoulder tap? Who can I help be more connected? Instead of thinking, this is my area, this is my basket of eggs, and it's up to me to do this ministry. No, I need to be thinking, who can I share these eggs with? Instead of having a territorial idea of, this is my territory to do this ministry, I need to be thinking, who can I connect with? You know, we do better ministry in the church when we do it in teams. Not just solo, but at least two or more people. How did Jesus send out the disciples? Two by two. We need to work together. We need connection. We must strengthen our connections with one another. Constantly working on strengthening our connections. Are you connected? Now the last point is this. We must go after those who've lost connection. In Galatians 6 verse 1, Paul talks about us who are spiritual should seek to restore those who have fallen away. Why do people leave the church? Why do people go? Most of the time it's not just wake up one morning and go heavy into sin. Most of the time it's a slow evolution away from the connections of the church to the connections of the world. People leave because they lost connection. Now I want to go back to that web. How many connections do you have to lose before you're gone? Think about if this is the only time you're here, AM worship. How many connections do you have to lose before you're no longer a part of the Seven Oaks Church? Connections matter. How many people do you have that you know about, you care about, and they know you and they care about you? However many that list is, it's going to be a direct impact on your future faithfulness and your connection with this church. If you feel very isolated, you feel like you just slide in and slide out, then we've got to do more to connect you, and you've got to help us connect you. Because if you don't feel connected, if you don't have these things, then the odds are that when the storms of life hit, when the frustrations of something hits, what do? You leave. Most people don't leave because they quit faith in God. They leave because they're no longer connected. They leave because they're no longer connected. Because they come more connected to this area. It's a work relationship. It's a work dedication. It's an entertainment. It's a hunting. It's a recreation. It's an exercise. It's friendships. It's something out there that then says, I want to be more connected with them than with the Lord and with His church. And so this morning I want to ask a very simple question. Are you connected? And what can you do in 2020 to become more connected? More connected to God, more connected to family, and more connected to church. What does the web of your life look like? Whatever your web looks like is directly feeding, directly influencing the you. You change that by changing your beliefs, your commitments, your values, so that your wants and needs will be met in the future. Are you connected? This morning, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, if you want to become connected with Christ through baptism, to have your sins washed away, if you need to rededicate your life and come back to the Lord, come as together we stand and as we sing.